Out of Washington, D.C., that's Thievery Corporation. That's their name, Thievery Corporation, with the title track of their 2002 album, The Richest Man in Babylon. This is Lead Stories. I'm your Trace Lead. We're getting off to a little late start because we needed to hear what was offered just prior by Gary Null on genetically modified root causes of diseases. And the standing order of explaining to people there's nothing to worry about. Well, of course, there is something to worry about. So it's important. When these things are important, we run a little late. This is how we do it. But let's start today by following up on our discussion yesterday. Analyze this. Is feeling the burn a viable option and strategy? We are expanding on yesterday's discussion where we looked at the Iowa caucuses and the implications of the results. As you know, it was a dead heat, and just a squeak was what separated Hillary Clinton from Bernie Sanders. And we saw the emergence of Ted Cruz as the front runner on the Republican side, Donald Trump coming in too and saying he was very humbled by being number two, and the rise of the Floridian Marco Rubio. So it's interesting. But many of us have long decided that we reject the duopoly. We are not fitting it all into duopoly politics. But the question today is, based on what occurred in the Iowa caucuses, are you revising your position, those of you who reject duopoly politics? Given the situation as it stands, is Bernie Sanders, the self-titled Democratic Socialist who virtually tied Hillary Clinton's caucus votes, is Bernie Sanders a viable choice? What is to be gained by supporting his candidacy? What is the biggest hurdle you might have to overcome in order to consider supporting him? Or do you stick by your guns and say, I'm out? Neither the Republicans nor the Democrats will have my vote. And there is something else, but what is that? This is where we are going with this discussion. We started it yesterday, and we got some preliminary reactions, but I think today we should follow up. 888-874-4888. Now, what is interesting is that you get the sense, at least I do, you get the sense that this election is an election which you are being herded along for the ride. It is not so much as whether people are identifying with the things that are important to you, the issues that you deem to be priority items. It is more a matter of you identifying with them. And this is what this race amounts to. Do you identify with them? Not so much whether they're identifying and resonating with you. So what are your feelings? Is Bernie Sanders now, based on the performance in Iowa and the prospect of doing well from this moment on, is Bernie Sanders, for strategic purposes, even if philosophically you don't agree or ideologically you don't agree, is there strategic value in supporting a Bernie Sanders? Now, this is a viable question. Or are you completely out of it you're not participating no matter what because the system is rigged. It is a show. It is a matter of people saying what they think you want to hear in order just to get the vote, to just formalize an endorsement of their position and their authority to rule. Or are you stuck, as so many of us are? Is there some kind of a political strategy that could be used here to leverage what, but for what? I mean, these are the questions. I have no answers, really. It's just a matter of talking it through. And this is how we figure it out. We talk with each other. We figure out what might work here. What could be gained in the situation? Being pragmatic, and politics very often is about pragmatism. What is a practical approach do you think should be employed here at this juncture? There is going to be an election. Somebody's going to win it. That somebody is going to be affiliated with some political party or the other. What do you do? What is the choice now? What do you see as a workable idea? And what, therefore, do you think you will have to give up or you will have to confront the dilemma that you will have in arriving at a decision as to what to do and where to go? Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you, Teresa, and good afternoon to the PRN family. Please, I apologize for my sound. I had dental surgery a few days ago, so I'm just still recovering. But I just felt the need to call in.
Thank you.
You know, it's very interesting because, as I have shared with you, my sole interest in Bernie Sanders is to put a nail in Hillary's coffin. And once that coffin has been sealed shut, I no longer have any need for him, and I share with you why. As I shared a few weeks ago, I attended a rally of his here in New York, and he spoke for an hour, and his sole focus was on the financial industry and about climate change. And issues that, while they're important to the total population, it has nothing to do with me specifically and what my interests are and what affects me on a day-to-day basis. It doesn't do anything for all the 900 people, you know, who were killed at the hands of police last year. He has been handed the situation in Flint, and he can't even materialize on that. He had a position on reparations that is just so insidious. I could not believe that he could, in other words, issues that he could have seized upon to say, okay, I don't understand black folks, because he doesn't. He has absolutely no exposure to them, no connection to them, he has nothing. But there are issues that affects us daily. Unemployment, inability to send your children to a school, inability to get scholarships, inability to get health care, inability, period. And there is not one thing that he can address that affects black people. So, as I said, once he's put the nail in Hillary's coffin and I'm going to help him do that, I have no further use for him and no further need for him. And I don't see black people coming to his position.
Well, why would you see that as incentive enough to become involved if with a candidate who you acknowledge isn't doing anything for you, is not really addressing your needs? Well, why would you even be motivated to help him at all on any level?
Well, you see, it's not about Bernie Sanders. I'm attacking Hillary, and I don't care who I use to attack her. And that may sound unethical. That may be very unethical, but that's my motivation. I just want to clarify that.
Being clear about it. The whole thing is to sink Hillary at all costs.
That's my motivation. That's my sole focus. I'm very myopic when it comes to this. I'm like a dog with a bone. I don't care how I get her. I just want to get her. And then once I get her, I'm done. Because that's
you're
my
done.
Focus.
Okay, so once you get her, you're done. Are you done with politics as it operates, or are you done with this kind of politics, and are you done with even the prospect of starting something else?
Well, I'm done with politics as it is currently configured. And I absolutely agree with you. We need to look within our own resources and develop those from within. And I mean, Malcolm came from us, and we need to find another Malcolm.
Okay. Well, thank you for getting the conversation started today. So you're clear. Bernie,
I'm very clear.
You can deal with Bernie if only to sink Hillary.
That's his whole, that's he has for
that's,
me. He has no
it.
Other value.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Sorry if that sounds quite harsh and unethical and immoral, but that's where I am.
Thank you very much for your very frank assessment today. From New Jersey, Michael, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Trees, and hello, everybody in the progressive audience.
Thank you so much for that.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Same here, Michael. What have
you
to say today to this question?
And they had a TV there, and I was watching New Hampshire, and I saw Bernie give a speech there. And I disagree with the previous caller. I mean, I can understand what she's saying. Obviously, there's distrust in the system from everybody. And we really do have to ask if we can trust this whole system, considering what's going on here. But, you know, Bernie, actually, he hit all the points. And the point that you raised, you know, and I've been thinking about is, well, can we trust Bernie? And also, he's not making the race connection. He's making every other connection, but in today's speech, he did. He actually used the word race.
In wow.
In the same sense as he was talking about inequality, wealth inequality, and he was talking about health care, you know, that it's a right and not a privilege, and Wall Street, of course, and pointing out all the numbers, disparities in wealth, how, you know, the top 0.1% is as much as the 50%, all these numbers that are very persuasive, and it's hard to argue with what he has to say, but today was the first time that he used the word race. Now, I thought for Bernie, from his perspective, if he made that last connection with race, I felt that that would put him over the top. Now,
but the question is, it may put him over the top, but what you're also suggesting, I mean, this is what I'm reading, is that isn't it odd that he suddenly, after all this time of campaigning, you're hearing him use this word for the first time?
Yes,
well,
yes.
This is at the root of just about
that.
Everything he's talking about.
I understand. Now, he covers a lot of my pet peeves personally about Citizens United, and, you know, he hits all those issues that have been irking so many of us. But he's really, today's speech, I heard him go into the criminal justice system, the minimum wage, the education, and I'm just questioning, too, because I feel like everybody else out there that, you know, that listens to your program, but I'm just saying, well, you know, do we want the whole world? You know, here's the Titanic. You're not going to turn that giant ship on a dime. It may be a slow arc turning, you know, and we're in such a crisis, in every aspect, and a lot of it has to do with this, you know, the industrial revolution just never, you know, and the whole capitalist thing just got out of hand. Somebody's got to begin to turn that ship. Now, Jill Stein, I mean, she's not on television. She's not going to attract anybody's vote. Is it pragmatic, as you suggest, the word pragmatism? Is it pragmatic at this point, after seeing what's happened in Iowa And now there's voting fraud that they're suggesting Hillary Clinton. Maybe he won Iowa. Because now there's a suggestion that Hillary did some irregularities in the voting situation in Iowa, which I'm, I don't doubt. And Bernie is, he's talking about a revolution. Now, it's not the revolution that maybe we're talking about. It's not a revolution in consciousness, but it's a revolution in policies that many of us would probably agree with. Is it pragmatic to just throw away, everything we have behind Bernie and say, okay, now here's the issue, because we did this with President Obama. We said, change, here we come. President Obama, change. And he said maybe if we compare all his 2008 statements and compare it to Bernie's statements, maybe we'll say, oh, here's another Obama, another populist who goes here and sounds like this and goes there and sounds like that. But I don't know.
After all this, you still don't know.
No, I'm not certain, because I'm generally very, very circumspect about politics in general.
They don't go together, circumspect and politics. They just don't go together. Those two words don't go together. It's about what is it, what advantage you get from the action that you take. Politics has nothing to do with morality or ethics or any of that. It's just simply, what do you get from the action that you take? And that action, presumably, is in your best interest. I still maintain that Bernie Sanders, as well, is part and parcel of a problem. And the problem is, he still hasn't had the courage, and it probably is because he doesn't see the issue this way. He is not talking about America's fatal flaw, and that is race oppression. And it is at the root of everything else that we are dealing with. He prefers to discuss it as, income inequality and the role of the banks and so forth. But at the root of it, we are an apartheid country. That's all that's the fact. He has not, even as a socialist, at least that's what he says he is, even as a socialist, he hasn't addressed that. And that is at the root of the issue. That is at the root of the enormous number of police killings, the root of the shutting down of schools, the root of Flint, everything. So I'm saying, let me ask you the question the other way then, just challenging your thesis here. Is this a great time to essentially disable the Democratic Party altogether and force it to confront the fact that it's been playing games all along, and people are wise to it, and it deserves to be punished for all these things that they've been doing, playing with people's lives?
Well, Utrice, we should weigh that, okay, what you just said, we should weigh that against, Bernie calls himself the most progressive congressperson, okay? We should weigh what you said against the possibility of like a movement politics. What if we could institute a minimum wage of $15? What if we could have Medicare for all? A right, healthcare is a right versus a privilege.
Now, but so far, nobody's pressing either any of the candidates. Nobody's pressing them for concessions. Nobody's asking them to make concessions yet, and to make these things real in their campaigning. So we will wait and see. But I see where you're going. Thanks for contributing today, Michael. Good to hear from you. Let's talk to the other David in Brooklyn, as he calls himself. Hello, the other David. You're on the air.
Hi, Yusuf. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Oh, I'm glad. I call myself the other David because you mentioned it. You're expecting the other David, and you got me. But anyway, what you said Monday was brilliant, that whole hour.
Thank you.
Except for one thing, you called yourself reasonably intelligent, and you're above that.
Reasonable. I'm trying to be humble.
Yeah, I was just going to say, humility got in the way.
Well, how do you see it? Given the situation as it stands, is Bernie Sanders a viable choice? Is he somebody worth supporting? And if so, what do you think you'll have to confront and get over in order to do that?
My opinion on Bernie, he's doing an Obama. I don't care if people don't think he's doing that. There's no way he's going to be able to get done what he says he's going to get done. Like Medicare for all, the cabal is not going to let that happen. There's too much money invested in the healthcare cartels to get Medicare for all. So that's specious right there.
Well, then I ask you, are you okay then with the status remaining very much quo?
Of course not, but it doesn't seem anybody's going to be able to change that. Because they have a real hold on it. They have everything rigged. You know that yourself, as you spoke about Monday.
So is there a pragmatic or practical gain here if one decides, let's say, well, it really, if it comes down to being between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders,
Bernie.
You will take Bernie?
Get rid of Hillary, as your first caller said. Got it. We can't have the president.
If you are faced with that stark choice, you will go with Bernie.
Yes, but I'm not going to vote anyway.
Okay.
I've had it for that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Well, then we have the other David, also from Brooklyn. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice.
Good afternoon.
I don't think people understand the nature of this system. I mean, we're dealing with a quasi-democracy that is headed by oligarchs in what has turned into a fascist state. That's corporations and government working together. And no matter what who you vote for, one of the other Republicans or Democrats, it's never going to get anywhere. People have to do other things. It's like a couple of tigers in a cage with some people here, and we're trying to figure out which tiger would be better for us. It's not going to change. You're dealing with a system that cannot be done in by voting Republican or Democrat. We have to do something other than that.
Okay, so that puts you firmly in the camp of people who are rejecting the duopoly altogether. It's not even about Hillary or versus Bernie Sanders.
No, I could not vote for either of them. Yes, the point is, people have to either get their own party or do what is necessary to go in the streets to change this.
But I want to press you here. Is there no practical purpose here in voting this year? If only, as Patricia said, as she started out the program today, if only to absolutely sink Hillary's political career and any chance of getting her elected, is there any pragmatic or practical purpose to voting this year?
Well,
even as a person rejecting the duopoly?
I'm not going to vote for Hillary or Bernie when it comes to any kind of I don't belong to those parties anyway. But the point is, I don't know if that's going to make a real difference. The ruling elite are very skillful. They have to know how to play people enough to maintain control of the population. That's what all this is about. As I said before, they're winning. They're winning big because they've got all the money and they're getting more. They don't care about anybody. They just care about making more money. So the system is not in the service of the people, And as they see the opportunity, they're going to do everything they can to enrich themselves even more. So when people get the idea that these two tigers are not going to be man-eating tigers, that is, they're not going to turn into vegetarians. They're going to continue to be man-eating tigers. So people have to get it, no matter what color they are. This is a situation where you can't change a corporate capitalist who is running a fascist state. He's not going to do it. So something else must be done.
And what is that something else? Do you have a hint or what that something else might be?
What's that?
What is that something else, you think?
Well, what I'm saying that something else is maybe a start by going local and starting new parties, and that makes it very difficult because the ruling class has pretty well broken that out, where you have a tremendous time in starting a new party and get it on the ballot. It sounds like to me that people have to think about going to the streets. They have to, you know, do something that will attract the attention of those who rule, and that's the only way people are going to get what they want here, because just voting for these two parties, that's a complete loss, and that is not going to change. You're going to get some cosmetic changes now and then. You're going to get some people of color in high places who are in concert with those who rule, and that's all you're going to get. But the mass of the people, white and black, no, doesn't matter. They're going to be losing, and they're losing right now. And people need to get this. This is a very serious thing. So all this, you see, this reminds me of the days when I used to teach about busy work. Busy work means that teacher is absent and you give the students something to do. So the busy work is all this talk about the Republican Democrats, and this is busy work for the people. Just like, you know, watching television and watching games and watching basketball, football, and all the other things that divert people's attention. Like a couple of days ago, I was in a doctor's office, and I had to be suffering waiting there, and I was looking at this television and all these stupid programs that they have up on the television. That's busy work. Keep people's attention away from the real issue. And the issue is not whether it's one of those candidates in the Republican or Democratic parties that control everything. That's not the issue. We got to get outside of that, and people have to get it. White people have to understand that they've been manipulated, and black people are manipulated also. And with Hillary, it's just interesting how women, some of them, black women, many of them are for Hillary. I can't understand that. You know, but they're doing it, and we got to stop this and get a strategy to really get into a situation where we have good things happening for the people.
Well, thank you, David. You still are very much a teacher. Thanks for calling today. From Philadelphia, Clara, you're on the air.
Thank you, Utrecht. Hello, and I wish you well and everyone else. Sometimes
thank
I
you.
Forget to say all that.
Thank you so much. Well, so you know, are you feeling the burn?
No.
No.
It's really chilly here. No.
You don't think there's any pragmatic purpose right now for supporting Bernie Sanders, if only to stop Hillary Clinton?
Oh, you see, no, I would like to see Hillary stopped in another way. About Bernie. Well, I consider him a fake. He's a man. I didn't listen to his speech yesterday or any of his speeches. I just go online and get portions of what he said. But I have never heard him use the word war. I don't know, maybe other people have. I have never heard him use the word poverty. Maybe other people have. in my opinion, the war issue is the biggest issue, and it does relate directly to capitalism and world domination, which includes racism and all the other things. Now, I wouldn't vote for him. I think he's a farce. This might sound weird. I've even contemplated, even though I'm not a registered Republican, going out and voting in a primary for Trump. The reason for this, he is so outrageous. I want to see the system down. He is so outrageous. I think he would cause so much chaos that things would begin to crumble under him because of the people's response to the increased poverty and all the other things that go with it.
You are actually considering aiding and abetting chaos?
Yes.
That's different.
As systems stay intact through order. That's what they're trying to impose, extreme order. It can get so outrageous. Their behavior can get so outrageous. And the person committing it being so, theatrical. Which gives people even more fuel for anger. I want it to happen soon. I don't want a war. Maybe that would keep us from war. People will not do what they need to do for themselves until they're on their backs. I mean, I can't get anybody, for example, take a thing like your health. I have friends who are diabetic who will not stop eating bread. Who eat sugar? Keep faced with the fact. This is a microcosm of the American mind. So how are we going to get people to garden for themselves, stop buying from the beast, what I call starving the beast, stop buying anything you don't need, stop voting for these creeps? No, they're going to have to be so devastated that they can't do anything else.
So in the short term, there's going to be an election this year. It is going to be held in November. Do you think that there's absolutely no pragmatic point here to be made to say, well, okay, I know what this is all about. It's a farce and so forth. But there's a strategy here that I could use this moment in time to make a point. Do you see any rationale for making a point here?
Making a point in terms of voting for I've made my point, but you're thinking of another point that would aid Bernie.
No, I'm just saying. Do you see, as a political person, do you see that there might be some kind of a strategy here that if only a little bit of an ounce worth of leverage that you could flex your muscle a little bit and hopefully it could get something done that you consider to be a priority item?
Well, you see, my priorities are to stay out of war, get out of the Middle East. He never talks about that. He's a pro-Israelite, if you're talking about. I see nothing in the Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm.
That is salvageable, that is meaningful in terms of my life or people that I know or anybody, if particularly black people. We hold cards in our hands. They are expecting us to vote for them. They need our vote. If we were to stay home, you see, another thing, Nutrice, I believe that if Hillary runs against Donald Trump, he will destroy her. I would love it. That woman, I have a personal hatred for her because of the things she's done. When they went into Libya, it was the same, to me, it was the same dynamic operating as when they went into that town in Oklahoma where it was called the Wall Street of the West
Wall
or something,
Street.
Where the black... That's the same thing. They had too much. They do not want us to have anything. Same thing with Detroit. It's the same dynamic. It's not just here. It's all over the world. Syria, wonderful place before. they despise people of color.
All right. Well, you made your point.
Besides, do everything we can to destroy the system.
Well, thank you. It's a great range of views we're getting today, and very exciting, as a matter of fact. Let's go to Los Angeles, DX.
Thank you.
On the air.
Patrice, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Oh, good. That's great.
Are you feeling the burn today, DX?
Well, first let me say, you're sounding very chipper, and you sound wonderful.
Well, I like listening to what people have to say. It's very energizing.
Okay, so I'll start off right up at the top by saying that I've said it many times when I've called in that the system here is useless. This is not so much an election as it is a selection, and it's I don't call it an election year. I call it the system validation year. Because basically they use this thing called elections, voting, to make us think that we actually have choices here, and that and to validate themselves. The people want this, the people want that. Now, I usually don't follow too closely on this whole election debacle, bullcrap thing, but I have been making a few observations. And a couple of them might seem a little bit harsh or brutal, but I'm just going to be straightforward so I can be succinct here. I was watching some coverage online the night of the Iowa primary, and they were talking to some of the voters coming out about Hillary Clinton. And what struck me is these were mostly older people. And, of course, they're mostly white. You got Iowa there. So they were saying, well, what do you think about Hillary and what do you think about Bernie, his plan for health care, and Hillary, her plan for health care? And they were saying the oddest thing to me is they were saying, well, we don't need to scrap the whole system. I think it's better if we just, because I don't think Bernie's plan can succeed. And I think we should, basically we're saying we should aim low. And I looked at this and I said, this mentality here is why this woman is able to do what she does. She's such a liar. She put out the message there a couple weeks ago that if Bernie were to become president, her campaign did, if Bernie were to become president, we would scrap what we have now as far as the Obamacare plan system. It never works that way. And the guy who was interviewing these people had to actually tell them, they don't just scrap something and then work on something else. Obamacare is going to stay in effect while they debate Medi-Cal for All or whatever Bernie wants to do. He had to actually bring that to their attention. I mean,
That's not surprising. Really, it isn't. This kind of information is not routinely available to everyone. It just isn't. And we know that from the way the media operates. But I want to ask you to deal with the issue at hand here.
Okay.
Are you a rejecter of duopoly politics? You're not for the Democrats or you're not for the Republicans generally? Are you just, do you have any love affair going with the duopoly at the moment?
I don't care for any of them.
Right.
I mean, it's not real. It's an illusion. It's, like I said, it's system validation year is what it is. And it's
okay, I got you. But so now I ask you the follow-up question.
Okay.
With that in mind, recognizing that you don't like either generally, you're not for the Republicans or you're not for the Democrats. You dislike both. do you just the same see any reason to rethink that in this election season? And do you see Bernie Sanders, the self-appointed Democratic Socialist, as a viable option through which you could, you know, if with support, you would achieve something, even if you're not for the Democrats and you're not for the Republicans?
Well, let's deal with Bernie first. To his credit, recently he has been talking about Black Lives Matter and fairness and things like that and race.
But he has no choice because they landed
right.
squarely on him.
It's right.
not, he experienced an epiphany here. They
right.
they made him recognize a need to address this point.
You are correct. In some ways, he's being forced. But my thing is, to add to that, saying ain't doing. You know, this is the thing. He's never dealt with these issues while he was in the Senate too much. You know what I mean? So also one thing that troubles me about him is his support of these wars and his support of Israel so much. But the thing is, saying ain't doing, okay? So this is rhetoric on all sides from all of these candidates. This is all just rhetoric. And you know what Bernie reminds me of? When Obama was running in 2008. What happened the minute Obama got the nomination? Corporations started flooding him with money. They had a meeting with him and said, hey, you're our guy, and are you going to do what we want you to do? And he obviously said yes. So this is how they're going to approach this situation. Bernie is obviously a wrinkle in Ms. Clinton's coronation. So if he was to win this nomination, I have no doubt they'd do the same thing they did with Barack Obama.
But are you helping him this year? I thought I heard you in an earlier conversation feel the burn yourself.
Well, no, I like to think he's... No, it's pretty frosty over here as well. So,
are you frosty?
So, you have to see this as, okay, you see how a hamster on a wheel just goes around and round and round and round, and this is what the American people in general are locked into. It's like a repeating the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, and we know what that's called. So, I mean, we have to get off the wheel. We have to boycott is the word, you know, boycott this whole system, not just the elections. We have to stop shopping, as one caller said before me, for anything that we don't need. We have to start trying to buy locally. You know, just boycott this whole mess of a system, and hopefully it'll crash. That's what I think. So,
wow. Do you feel that that you yourself have taken a decidedly more, what should I call it, a more aggressive tone in your in today's thinking as opposed to where you were before? Have you become more convinced that the duopoly just ain't where it's at, as they say?
Yes, because well, I've always kind of felt this way, but I mean, I'm waiting for people to wake up. I'm just waiting for people. I mean, I know some black females who are actually going to try and support Hillary, and then you fill them in on all the nonsense, the BS in the background here with all the lectures for Wall Street banks and all this other stuff. Oh, really? They know, they have no idea about any of it. You know, her support for all these invasions and all that, they have no idea of it. So people need to start thinking and wake the heck up, you know. Got to wake up and get off this wheel, you know. And so my final word is F all of them, you know.
That's it. That's it for you. You're done. Stick you
I'm
with
done.
A fork.
I'm done.
Okay. Thank you, DX. Well, that brings us to the end of the program today. And we should continue talking about this because it is going to be evolving in the next couple of months leading up to November. And we'll see. You know, politics is sometimes all about being pragmatic and practical. But we know also that we have to square that against what you hold to be your standard, and we very often identify ourselves as having ethical standards and moral standards and spiritual standards, all kinds of standards. They don't necessarily square with politics. Politics is no respecter of standards. Nothing to do with standards. Everything to do with interests and winning at gaining and protecting your interests. So it will evolve because it's just beginning, but we see just the same that this is very much so far shaping up to be yet another. It still continues. This part of it has not changed. This is white America having a discussion with itself and maintaining ways in which they either agree or disagree about maintaining utter and complete control. Maintaining the system of white supremacy, maintaining the values of white supremacy, and maintaining all of the interests of white supremacy for all kinds of reasons, and I talked about that earlier in a commentary. So we observe the election within that context, and we can't sever the two. They are very much related. And we see the permutations that the candidates themselves will be going through, having nothing to do with a consistent standard, having everything instead to do with a consistent interest. And whether they are on the Republican side or the Democratic side, and I'm increasingly concerned that even in the so-called progressive community, we see the same thing happening. We see exactly the same thing happening. The dialogue is being shaped, and the interests of this country are being seen through the prism of white skin privilege. And whether it's about economics, whether it's about healthcare, whether it's about criminal justice, it's the same prism that is shaping everybody's view. And that has not changed at all. I thank you very much for joining me today, and we'll continue talking. Tomorrow we'll have some other things for you to consider. Coming up next, the NDC Savings Club. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com and let me know what you're thinking about these programs that we're doing right here on Lead Stories. It's always a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company, and I thank you so much for maintaining such high standards of discourse on this program. Take care. See you tomorrow. Babylon, man, you reach again. But you win up sick again. And you win up weak again. Babylon. Salaluka, Kuba, 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 Babylon, this is the final day. Babylon, this is the final call. We'll read the right that's on the wall. Since divided we stand, and together we fall. You never know that. You're not gonna catch me in a rat trap. We're not gonna fall in a